You are listening to Sheep Might Fly, a podcast of serialized fiction written and read by Tansy Rayner Roberts. Before I get started, I just wanted to give you all a heads up that this week, Dance Prince's Dance, which was previously a serial on this podcast, is about to be published as an ebook across various platforms. It's currently up for pre-order on Amazon, but it should be available pretty much everywhere that you can buy ebooks on the 20th. So that is, for those of you listening sometime later, the 20th of April 2017. So yeah, if you want your own ebook copy of the story, it has been revived since it appeared on the podcast, because this podcast is pretty much somewhere near my first and second draft of the stories, but it hasn't changed that much. But if you want to own your own copy, well, there are two ways to own your copy. One is to become a supporter of my Patreon, where you get all the ebooks from this podcast's stories delivered straight away. And the other way is to go to and purchase it for your ebook reader. So yeah, that's Dance Prince's Dance, which is the second Castle Charming book. And I'm currently writing the new next original serial for this podcast, which will be the next in the Belladonna University series. It's called The Bromances. It features a very short road trip and a very long music festival and other geeky, witchy, magical shenanigans and feelings and song lyrics. So I'm enjoying writing that. And in the meantime, we are currently reading Death at the Dragon Circus. This was recently published in the anthology and then the Great Big Book of Awesome Adventure Tales. If you missed part one, look a little further back in the feed. Today I'm reading part two, Death at the Dragon Circus, part two, in which Inga learns to fly. The Frostad stood against the wall in the station, watching the other passengers from their train disembark. They carried a small rucksack each and nothing else. There was a lot to be said for travelling light. By unspoken agreement, they waited for the crowd to dissipate before they made a move. Neither of them liked to have a lot of people at their back, especially in a new city. Kurt sensed the wrongness before he even saw the bloke. The same surly, short fellow who had summoned Puck to deal with Blue. He looked like circus folk, wrapped up in a buttoned purple coat and a bright striped scarf, despite the warmth of the afternoon. But there was something moving inside his coat. "Stop, thief! Stop him!" howled a voice from further back on the platform. Kurt was already moving when he registered that the voice belonged to Puck. He lurched forward and, as if by accident, collided directly with the man in the scarf. The purple coat burst open, and several small gleaming creatures fanned out into the air. Dragons, Kurt realized, staring in surprise at the buzzing wings and tiny huffs of smoke coming out of perfectly formed nostrils. Baby dragons? He didn't even know dragons had babies. Didn't they emerge fully grown from, like, volcanoes or something? Puck slammed into the purple coat man from behind, knocking him to the ground. He reached his hands up and sang. It was a different song to the one he'd used in the carriage, but it was in the same language, foreign and melodic. As Kurt watched, transfixed, the baby dragons swooped down and nestled themselves back into Puck's arms. All but one, a little green thing that had decided it liked Inga better. It dipped and nuzzled at her face, making her laugh. Not a fake laugh, for practice, a genuine laugh. Kurt knew then that if Inga wanted dragons in her life, he would walk over fire to give her dragons. Suddenly the baby green nipped hard at the sparkling snowflake crystal that Inga wore about her neck. Seizing its prize, it flew up high over the station roof. Inga's smile fell off her face. She held herself up the side of the station shelter as if the walls were not completely smooth and without handholds. She ran lightly along the edge of the roof and leapt into empty air, catching the baby green before it flew out of range. She tumbled as she fell back to the platform, landing on her smartly buttoned boots. Yes, yeah, so much for not drawing attention to themselves. Inga brought the baby green back to Puck and handed it over by the scruff of its neck, having already reclaimed her necklace. "Yours, I believe," she said, not even breathing hard. "You'd be brilliant on the trapeze," Puck blurted out, staring at her as if he'd never seen anything like it. Inga looked pleased. "Of course I would." "No, no, seriously, I gave you my card, right? We need a trapeze artist. Like now. Today." Inga glanced over at Kurt. He was careful not to let anything show in his face. Not approval, not disapproval. Her own face dimmed slightly. "I'll think about it," she said. Kurt's first impression of the city of Candle was all gum trees and dust. The wind was dry and gritty and swept through the streets like it wanted to flay the skin from their bones. He and Inga made their way through the city centre and past the warehouse district to find the wide, dusty showground where the Dragon Circus pitched its tents. On their way, Kurt kept an eye out for affordable boarding houses in case the circus option didn't work out. "I see what you're doing," Inga said serenely, not even glancing in his direction. "Every backup plan needs a backup plan," he replied, hoisting his pack higher on his shoulder. The circus was bigger than he'd expected. Not just the big top, a massive sprawl of bright canvas painted with silhouettes of dragons in flight, but a surrounding carnival of games and amusements. Beyond that were the caravans, trailers and tents belonging to the circus folk. It was like a city in its own right. A large, stout metal fence provided security, with muscular crew in cheerful, distracting costumes, taking note of anyone who entered. Clowns, mostly. Intimidating, surly clowns. "We don't open till 3, grunted one of them, stepping in Kurt and Inga's way as they approached. Inga's body language softened as she prepared to charm him. "Hey, you made it," broke in another voice. And Puck, in his beaded cap and flapping patched velvet jacket, ran to them both, ushering them past the clowns. "Great timing. I want to introduce you to the Birds of Paradise." Kurt assumed he meant more dragons, or possibly actual birds, because circuses were full of exotic animals, right? Puck led Inga directly into the big top. It was empty, with banks of seat clean and ready for the night's show. A swooping motion caught Kurt's eye, and he looked up to see a feathered shape fluttering above, and then another. There were two of them, slender men with sleek muscles, wrapped in costumes of tight blue satin and wide, wire-framed wings. The wings dripped with colour, aqua and orange and green. Every toss and tumble that they made across the swooping trapeze swings brought out a new colour in the layers of false satin feathers. Inga tipped her head back and stared at them both. Kurt could see her calculating how to copy those moves. It wasn't hugely different to the acrobatics required in their previous profession. "Cicero! Cato!" Puck called up into the air. "Come meet a new friend." "We're working," yelled one of the birds, the one with pale skin and a shock of red hair. His voice was surprisingly deep for such a slight man. "Do you know how long it's going to take to cut all our routines down to duets?" "If this works, you won't have to," Puck shouted back. That caught their attention. The dark-skinned bird with a roughly shaven head dropped first, letting go of the trapeze and falling several feet, before he caught another rope, one hidden in the folds of the tent, and all but floated down to the floor. The red-haired bird was slower to follow, but no less graceful. They both stood beside each other, heads tilting in identical movements, as they examined both Inga and Kurt. "So creepy when you do that," Puck muttered. "This is Inga Frostad. She flew with dragons at the train station this morning. I think she could learn Molly's set. Cato, Cicero," he added, tapping the black man on the head and then the white. Their usual partner eloped with the assistant grip, and these two have trouble thinking in anything but triangles. Why couldn't you sub in one of the performers you already have? Kurt asked, his arms folded across his chest. Cicero turned a cool look on him. Because we hate everyone, he said. Cato elbowed his larger partner in the ribs. The best aerialists already have their own acts, he corrected, in a more friendly voice. Also that. Inga smiled, dropping her pack and laying her white fur jacket on top of it. Her clothes were not completely inappropriate for trapeze work. She liked to wear loose, soft trousers and shirts that she could fight in if violence became necessary. The pretty coat and the jewellery had disguised the practicality of her basic outfit. The Birds of Paradise surveyed her thoughtfully. Costumes would have to be taken in, said Cato. Molly had more boob and hip to her. How fast can you climb a wall? Cicero asked Inga directly. Inga smiled. With or without handholds? It took half an hour for Cato to fall in love with Inga. And perhaps another 15 minutes after that for Cicero to go the same way. Kurt sprawled across a couple of seats in the big top, watching as the two of them danced around her in the air. Inga had mastered their simplest three-way flying routine and was extending herself further. She was holding back some of her abilities, but her effortless grace and ruthless flexibility worked for her. Puck didn't stay to watch, but kept dropping back in to check on their progress. She's not bad, he noted, as Inga leapt from Cato's hand to Cicero's, across the wide expanse of empty air. Fearless is hard to fake. Kurt smiled to himself. She's not faking. Cicero was light in the air, as if a puff of that dry, dust-laced city wind might carry him away. Cato was more solid, moving like a knife through silk. They tossed Inga from one perch to another with a practiced confidence. Inga picked up their moves and cues and developed whole new moves of her own, forcing the Birds of Paradise to follow or be left in her dust. This was it. Kurt had lost her to the circus. First there were dragons, and now they've taught her to fucking fly. No coming back from this. She's found her retirement plan. Your sister's good, said a calm voice just behind his ear. It was all Kurt could do not to react, to turn his hands into weapons and drop the invader to the floor in an instant. How did he get so distracted that he allowed a stranger that close to him without realizing it? He glanced back over his shoulder, as if it didn't even matter to him who might be sitting behind him in the stands. An ordinary-looking man, maybe 40 years old, in faded work clothes, nothing special. He didn't have the smell of grease paint on his skin that marked just about everyone else around here. She was good an hour ago, Kurt said slowly. She's moved up to spectacular. We'll see, said the man with a shrug, and looked Kurt over, weighing up his potential too. Kurt had clients like this who tried to stare through him like they could see his insides, as if they would somehow make sense of his skill set. He turned his back on the other man, returning his attention to his air-dancing sister. Puck charged into the big top as if someone had shouted fire. He skidded on the sawdust and slowed with a guilty expression on his face as he caught sight of their observer. Gaffer! He gasped. Gaffer. That was ominous. Kurt glanced around to reassess the man from his shabby work clothes to his much-mended boots. Was he the one who made the decisions around here? The gaffer's face was flat. Something you want to share, Puck? I found as a replacement for Molly on the train, said Puck, nervousness spilling over. The trapeze artists in Tintillegra were useless, but quite by chance. Inga Frostad, this is her brother. He stared frantically at Kurt, then back to the gaffer, as if he wanted the ground to swallow him. There was something strange going on here. Frostad, this is Mr. Brennan, the circus manager. Brennan didn't acknowledge Kurt as part of the conversation. On the train, he demanded of Puck. Not at the auditions, then. Yeah, it was a funny thing. Puck said, and launched into the story of the Dragon Snatchers and Inga's leap of rescue. The gaffer cut Puck off halfway through. Was this before or after Blue gave birth to half a dozen baby dragons? Puck swallowed. We met the Frostdads before anyone knew about the babies. It really was coincidence. Coincidence. Like one of my best clowns turned out to be a fucking traitor who stole the baby dragons from us first chance he got. Brennan growled. Rusty was always a bit dubious, Puck blurted out. He can't have planned it, though. We'd never have taken Blue on the train if any of us knew she was pregnant. So what do we do with this bloke if his sister becomes our new bird of paradise? Kurt gritted his teeth, angry at being talked over like he wasn't even here. We need an extra grip, Puck said hesitantly. He says he's good at fixing things. The gaffer gave a scoffing laugh. Her yes, him no. He walked out of the big top. Kurt didn't acknowledge the apologetic look in Puck's eyes. He was watching Brennan the gaffer walk away. Under those shabby work clothes, he had the stance of a soldier, and he held himself like he knew where all the weapons were. I'll talk him around, Puck said. Yeah, don't bother, Kurt said. He got to his feet, stretching. Tell Inga I'll be back later. I'll find us a place to stay in the city. She'll be expected to live on site when she joins us, said Puck. Kurt gave him a wide, thoroughly nasty grin. The kid didn't deserve it, but he wasn't in the mood to go easy. You think I give a damn what you people expect? He let Puck scurry out ahead of him, waited to catch Inga's eye, and motioned to let her know that he was going, for now. She gave him a brief nod, and returned her intense concentration to Cato, Cicero, and the dance of the air. Oh, yeah. He'd lost her to the circus. Thanks for listening to Sheep Might Fly. You can follow me on Twitter and Tumblr at TansyRR and at Sheep Might Fly. Like my page on Facebook at TansyR Roberts. And you can sign up to my author newsletter by following the link in the show notes. Don't forget to pre-order or purchase Dance Princess Dance if you want to, which is being released later this week. And I will see you next time. Good night.